You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
This is Ashley Winch.
And I am Allison Renborg, coming to you live from Columbus, Ohio, for another episode of the Equine Affair podcast of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And it's Sunday, April 12th. This is episode 3925. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, horse world. Well, I've got to start today's show by giving a little crap to Glenn. I am mad at Glenn.
Allison, what did Glenn do? He's not even here.
I took the world's best photo of you dressed in pink from head to toe at the Cowboy Challenge, and I sent it to Glenn via text. And I thought, oh, I'll post it in the auditors group later. Well, lo and behold, I go in the auditors group later, and he stole my photo and didn't even give me credit.
Oh, I mean, that's a professional attack as far as I'm concerned. That's stealing media assets.
Exactly.
We need the lawyers
so
involved.
So rude. Glenn, come on. You're not even here. And you first you leave me, and then you hurt me. I'm really hurt. No. You know, I'm glad he shared it as early as he could because, oh my gosh, you killed it yesterday.
It was something. So this shout out goes to Auditor Andrew, who months ago, Double Dog dared me to do the Cowboy Fitness Challenge. And I said, sure, why not? Yesterday, I'm like, Allison, I got to sign up for the Cowboy Fitness Challenge. She's like, Ashley, it's all full.
Yep.
You're too late.
That ship has sailed, my friend.
And I was like, oh, no, I can't let down my people. So Allison pulled some strings, as she does. And I was able to demo the Cowboy Challenge. So I walked in. I had no idea what to expect. Neither did Hayden Crystal, who was the MC. So I walk in and I'm like, hey, what's going on? She's like, oh, I don't know. What's going on? And finally, like, you know, 2 minutes before the event starts, Kogi brings over the pattern.
The pattern, shall we say. Yes.
And I said, okay, Hayden, I'm going to need you to call this out to me like a dressage test because I have no idea what's going on. And I leaned heavily into my very extensive, non-existent cowboy rodeo background, or, you know, the rodeo clown background.
I had no idea that you were not a professional.
I spent years in cowboy college learning those moves, including but not limited to two cartwheels.
Those were, you know, girl, I was extremely impressed. You have had a kid, and you can do that, and you did it in cow dirt. Because I'm sorry, that is the arena where the cows are.
Oh, yeah.
Two of them, two. Count them, two.
Well, I figured what I lacked in skill, I could make up with razzmatazz.
No, there was plenty of razzmatazz.
And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And it was a really fun pattern. You had to, like, run a wheelbarrow, you know, scoop feed. Thank God I knew how to tie a cinch.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
You know, tie a daisy chain on a lead rope, set some fences, throw some hay bales, which I only did two because I was tired. And I was the demo, so I didn't have to.
Yeah. Oh, and all of this while wearing spurs.
Yes.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
And there was supposed to be a hat. However, you were wearing a very fashionable helmet with a GoPro on top.
Yes. Hayden gave me her incredible T-Rex riding helmet with a GoPro because this is one of the more athletic things I've ever done.
Yeah. And I you don't say.
We needed the footage, the real hoofbeat by hoofbeat footage.
I can't wait to see it. And your outfit, girl, you had a crop top on.
I know.
And you looked good, and you had pink tie-dye pants.
Yep.
And a pink top. Yep. And it was epic, my friends. And I will say, my quick cell phone snapshot that Glenn stole. I'm going to have to start watermarking my texts to him now. is nothing compared to the professional photos that our professional photographer got.
I can't wait to see. I know I gave him a money shot. I turned around and I flexed my arms like Popeye and I sucked in my stomach because, like, the ladies get it. The moms out there get it.
I may have that in my email right this second. So.
I think I need it because I'm going to make it my new LinkedIn photo.
I love it. It says everything it needs to say about you.
Right. A very serious businesswoman and journalist.
Now, my favorite part about sending that photo to Glenn, the photo that Glenn stole, is that he just responded, OMG.
Twice. There was no context whatsoever.
That's all I got. And I'm like, good. I left Glenn speechless, which that's really hard to do.
Well, I told my boss at dinner last night, I said, you know, I'm really out here working hard for my paycheck.
My favorite comment on that photo was someone said, well, I tried to come by the booth and I miss you. And I guess I know why.
I've been busy, guys.
Yeah, she's been busy. She's been running
all over the place. So it was so much fun yesterday. I did swing by the adoption barn. They had adopted out. This was yesterday afternoon. I think 21 of the 42 adoptable horses.
Yes.
So, and I know Sunday everybody comes ready to spend money.
Ready.
Yep.
Go get you some horses.
So it's going to be a really great last day. I'm so excited for the show we have left to do.
Yes.
Let's welcome our first guest.
It's a good show. We are talking to Kimberly Bell Dam, and she is a Canadian horse owner. So yay, Canadians. And she'll be competing in the Breed Bonanza, which is happening for us in just a few hours. But probably as of publishing this podcast, it will have already happened. But we're going to chat about Canadian horses, which is very exciting. So, hi, Kimberly.
Hi.
So I'll go ahead and ask the dumb question out the get, because that's who I am. Canadian horses. We're not just talking about all horses from Canada.
No. So that's a great question.
That's what you can expect here, hard-hitting journalism on horses in the morning.
I love this journey for us. So the Canadian horse is a genetically distinct breed, and it has had a stud book for over 350 years.
Wow!
And it is a breed, not just a registry. But yes, it's not just all horses from Canada. It is a genetically distinct breed. And there's some kind of questioning behind a lot of people, like, oh, I have a Canadian horse, and they think Canadian sport horse. It's not that, because a Canadian sport horse, that's just a registry. It's not a breed. So you can take your Hanoverian and register it with the Canadian sport horse registry. And the Canadian warm blood is the same thing. We get that. Oh, he's a Canadian warm blood. He's not. That's also just a registry. It's a Canadian horse, or le cheval canadien is how we say it in French. And that's usually... Oui. I know, right? Fancy?
Ooh la la.
Mais oui. and that's usually how I, when people ask what he is, I usually say, oh, it's a cheval canadien. And then they go, oh, what's that? And I say, it's a Canadian horse.
And here we are, full circle.
And here we are.
It's like a circle.
You'll notice I don't say cheval canadien because I don't trust my pronunciation at Equine Affair after how many days?
And 372.
Yes.
Yeah, we figured that out before the show.
It's day 372 at Equine Affair.
So tell me about the Canadian horse as a breed. What are the markers that I can say, oh, I know what that is?
So a lot of people, the first thing I get is that a Friesian?
Okay.
Because the majority of them are black and they are lightly feathered. But if you stand a Canadian up next to a Friesian, they're markedly different.
Really?
They're very, very different. Very different. Besides being black and having feathers, that's where the similarities really end.
Okay.
Canadian horses have a lower set neck, so more of a normal set neck.
Versus the harness
the Friesians,
more upright.
Right.
Upright.
The Friesians, they want to see pretty much a straight line from their pastern to their throat latch.
Yeah.
Straight up and down for that big action up front.
Right.
A Canadian horse has a more elegantly tied forward set neck rather than an upward set neck. They tend to be compact. They're usually between 14-2 and 16 hands, but they can be larger than that and still be registered. I have one that's 16-3, and he's registered. They come in a variety of colors. There's no patterns. It's all solid colors. Primarily, they're black. They do come in chestnut and bay. There are also some of the dilutes available, like Palomino and Sooty Buckskin and things like that. They're much more rare, and there's a little bit of controversy about those horses actually being in the registry.
Sure.
So,
what's the horse industry without a little drama?
Exactly. Exactly. But primarily, you'll see them in black. So, if you see a black horse that you're like, huh, doesn't quite look like a Friesian, it might be a Canadian horse.
Well, and I think that's what appealed to me so much when I saw them is I couldn't immediately tell. Like, we see tons of Frisians here,
oh, yeah.
And I do love them. No hate on Frisians. But you see a Canadian horse, and you go, it's almost like, I guess it was just the appeal of a little bit more of a work-a-day, mm-hmm. almost, more yeah. of a working companion, more of a, you could see yourself riding into battle, or see yourself go trail riding, or see yourself hanging out with your Canadian horse.
Yeah.
Whereas the Frisians are more like the Corvette, the sporty car, the flashy red convertible, mm-hmm, you know, that's how mm-hmm. I sort of see them. So
totally, but I don't think you should let their workmanlike attitude and look really mm-hmm. belay the fact that they're very athletic.
Yes.
One of the things we love about the breed is how versatile they are. Mm-hmm. You can literally do everything you want with one horse.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an upper level horse, my horse Patriot. His full name, and we'll get into that in a second, is Sanguine Eve Yukon Joe's Patriot. And his Patriot is his barn name. And he was the first Canadian to go FEI in the U.S.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's such an amazing accomplishment.
He also has jumped to 3 foot. He's a vented baby beginner novice with me because everybody knows dressage is French for afraid to jump.
Oh, naturally. Yes.
He's done haunted forces. He trail rides. He's done parades. He does literally everything. So I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. One horse, and he can excel at all of these things. So they're really versatile in that range. Like the horse I have here at Equine Affair, he's my mounted archery horse.
Oh, yes. Neat.
I also do dressage on him. So he's
wow.
done to second level,
wow.
and he does advanced open mounted archery as well. So it's really a horse for, you know, if you want to streamline and do one discipline, they're great for that. But if you want a horse where you can dabble and do well at all these things, they're also great for that.
I love it. And I love the slight draftiness.
Yeah, they're chonks.
Yeah.
Not super chonks.
Not super.
It's very technical terminology.
Yes, but slightly chonks. It's a low rider.
Sorry, a basset hound is walking by and Allison can't focus.
I'm sorry, my jaw dropped. The
dog.
Best ears.
You have the best
he
ears.
He was sweeping the floor with his ears, y'all. Okay. mounted archery. So I'm glad you brought that up because I had a inkling. I was like, somewhere in my head, I know I heard that about you, and mm-hmm. that is so freaking cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty awesome. You're pretty
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound just as multidisciplinary as your mounts.
It's nice yes. to, yeah, I was purely a dressage rider for many, many years and a trainer, and I sort of fell out of love with it because mm-hmm. it is so subjective, and
yeah.
I don't have a warm blood.
So right.
my horse, like Patriot, could go in and put in a really accurate test, but he's never going to really float around. He's
right.
not built like that. It's not all Canadians aren't built like that, because we mm-hmm. do have some that are really excelling at the upper levels. He's just a little more limited.
Yeah.
And so I got really frustrated with the fact that my horse was doing all the things, but he wasn't floating and he didn't have a brand, so I wasn't getting the reward. So I
right.
was like, you know what? I did my last show and said, I'm just not enjoying this anymore, and it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Yes. So I stopped showing, and then I saw a video of a woman in Hungary doing mounted archery, and I was like, wait, is this a thing?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I get into it? And it's such a great sport, and the community is amazing. So I really, really love it. And the Canadians really excel at it because they're very unflappable, and they're very steady. So you really have to trust your horse when you do mounted archery.
Right.
Because you're taking them and dropping the reins.
Yes.
And trusting that they're doing their job unattended while you do your job.
While yes. we're galloping through
exactly.
a field.
You're going full speed
yeah.
and hitting, you know, like we have, if you're doing like the sport track or the Korean track, it's a 90 meter track and you have 16 seconds to shoot off between 1 and 4 arrows.
Oh my gosh.
Depending on which track you're doing. And you can't be worrying about what your horse is doing. So they need to get into the gallop. Stay at the same speed, stay steady, stay straight, not stop. That's the key. And then stop at the end, because you're usually not able to grab them at the end. So they need to also stop at the end.
Now, do you shoot backwards from the saddle?
Yeah, backwards shots. Yeah,
wow.
we do all of that. So you do like, there's a Korean double where you're doing a forward shot mm-hmm. and then a back shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also do side shots. We do the Quebec, which is an upward shot with a blunted flu arrow. So it's a lot of fun. And it really, I thought I had a really good bond with my horses before. And then I started doing this. And the level of trust needed mm-hmm. really amplified that. Like you put your everything into that horse and trust they're just going to do it. And there's no like little adjustment here
right.
or there. You don't have time. So you're just
and
trusting.
And you don't have hands.
You don't have hands.
No.
Because if you stop to like check them, you're going to miss the next shot.
Right.
Yep. So yep. it really just bumped that level of trust I have in bond with my horses to a next level where it's like we are simpatico during that time. Like I'm trusting you to do your thing and take me to the end.
And you found the fun again.
I did. It's so much fun. And it's funny, the first competition I went to, there was a photographer there, and I was like, oh, I'll go look at the photos. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm smiling in every single photo. And in my dressage ones, I look like I'm about to die.
Yeah.
Right.
I and always look constipated.
Yes, I look like I have somewhere to be that's not on a horse. And no, like, I still love dressage. I still show it.
Of course.
And I still, like, all my horses still do it every day because I do think it's such a pillar.
Incredible.
Of every
foundation.
Discipline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I still do, like, I'll take them out. Like, Patriot went out and did a couple shows last year, and so did Excellence. It's just not my main focus anymore. And that has also increased the fun of that. So I've found a little more fun in dressage again as well. But yeah, mounted archery is really such a fun sport. I really wish more people would try it out. And people are like, oh, it looks so hard. It's not that hard.
She says.
She says. So Patriot's obviously multi-talented, multidisciplinary. Mm-hmm. How's he been adjusting to being here at the expo?
So Patriot's not the one I brought.
Okay.
Patriot's the one that I did the Breed Bonanza in Massachusetts with.
Okay.
And he came in seventh, and he was the first Canadian ever to do the Breed Bonanza. He's just the king of the firsts in the breed. He's my once-in-a-lifetime horse. Like, I will never have another horse like that. I love my other horses, but he's just...
Your heart horse.
He's just very special. So I have Excellence here this weekend, and his full name is Canadream Alex Excellence, and we call him Sexy Exy in the barn.
I like that.
So all of my horses were, all my geldings were stallions, like breeding stallions first. So he was a breeding stallion until he was six, and then he was gelded, and I bought him. And he's doing really well. Like, he's 15. I bought him when he was six, and he's a little... I really didn't do a lot with him for the first 2 years. It's really his second year of showing. I was concentrating more on Patriot, and I was kind of building him. I like them to be really going well before I introduce them into the show world. So he's a little like a neophyte a little bit to the show ring, but he's handled the atmosphere really well. And I did also take him to Massachusetts, and he did really well there as well. So we'll see how he does in the Breed Bonanza and the big Coliseum. I may or may not die.
No.
Well, we'll be rooting for you to not die.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Well, at very least, I'll be the girl who fell off in the Breed Bonanza.
No.
And maybe you'll get more content that way.
Maybe. People love a car crash.
So how can people learn more about Canadian horses? What's the registry name?
So the registry is the Canadian Horse Breeders Association. There's a lot of little splinter groups that do different things within different provinces. I am on the board for CHAPS, which is the Canadian Horse Preservation. Oh, I always forget the second one. Hold on.
That's why I asked you. It's CHAPS. We'll just go with that.
CHAPS, Preservation and Promotion Society, something like that. Yes. I'm really sorry. The CHAPS members, if anyone's listening.
We know the URL. We'll put it in the show notes.
That one covers the U.S. and Canada, and they do a lot of promoting for the performance side of the breed, kind of getting them out there, because a lot of people buy these guys and just trail ride them or just have them as family horses, but we'd like people to know that they're also a really great performance horse and a good option for someone who's maybe not looking for something that's as hot as a warm blood, something that you can safely show by yourself, that kind of stuff. That's really their niche is, I think they're really great for amateurs and like adult re-riders and things like that. That's not to say they're not great for professionals too. I have a friend, Eliza, who's got a horse that I sold to her, who's a Canadream as well. And he's doing Intermediaire 1.
Wow!
Yeah, and really successfully. Like,
that's
he's
amazing.
Really something. She's an amazing trainer, but he's really, really something as well. So there's definitely ones out there that can go the distance, but I think they're also really great for an adult amateur who wants something safe.
Yeah.
You know, like, we get to a point...
You don't want to fall anymore.
You don't bounce anymore.
No, you splat.
You splat. And you need something that's not going to splat you on a daily.
Yeah, I don't want to be splatted.
No, it's no fun.
No, thank you. Well, Kimberly, good luck today Breed Bonanza. We'll be rooting for you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming to share about your passions.
Yeah, and anyone who's interested, I highly recommend you check out the Breed Registry and check out CHAPS, the Canadian Horse Heritage and Preservation Society. These guys are just a really great horse. Come meet us. We'll be in Massachusetts as well with them. They're just a fabulous. They're a horse for every day, for all the things.
Joining us now is Ben Longwell of True West Horsemanship. He's here this weekend as a clinician and judged the versatility competition on Friday.
On Friday.
Gosh, it feels like A month ago.
6 weeks ago.
Thanks for joining us this morning on Horses in the Morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Last night I was kind of perusing the auditor group, which is our super secret group where the auditors, you know, hang out. And someone had taken a picture of you from your clinic yesterday or Friday and said, we need to have Ben on the show.
That's
He's
right.
cool. And I said, well, you're in luck because I already got him because I'm just that good. So for that auditor, this one's for you.
Allison gives the people what they want.
Very good.
So, Ben, this is your first time at the Ohio Equine Affair, right?
That's right.
What? Okay, first impressions.
You know, I think I told you when we were in Massachusetts a couple of years ago, Equine Affair is one of the best organized, smoothest running expos I've been a part of.
Now, Ben, I didn't pay you to say that.
No,
she did.
No.
I saw the money under the table.
But it's true. You know, there's a lot of moving parts, and we've always tried to, you know, work well with other people and the professionals and everything that's going on. In New Zealand, we were part of the National Expo down there from their very first year. And so there was a lot of teething issues, you know, the first year or two with that. And so it's just always been normal for us for there to be a lot of like last minute, like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? You know? So, it's always a pleasure to be a part of this event where things just happen. Everything's taken care of, you know?
We make it look easy, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we just get to show up and have fun.
That's right.
So before we kind of dig into the VHRC, because that's one of the main things I wanted to ask you about, kind of walk us through what is True West Horsemanship? What's your background? Why do you do what you do?
That's a good question. I grew up with horses and working cattle in Western Colorado. I always wanted to be a cowboy. And what I didn't realize is that there's so much more to it than just getting the job done. I always was looking for a way to be around livestock and horses and set it up for success. And I never could have expressed that or verbalized that very well until I was into my 20s. I started to get the light turned on as to what horsemanship really is and stockmanship too. And so, long story short, I never imagined that I'd be doing this for a living. If you had told me that I'd be a public speaker, basically, that would be the furthest thing from my mind. It still is, you know, quite honestly. But the reality is that I enjoy teaching people. I enjoy teaching horses. And when I can get those two things on the same page so as to set things up for success, I really enjoy that. So we come at things from a pretty practical background. A working ranch cowboy has to survive, you know, first and foremost in pretty hairy situations. And so I feel like if we can understand how to do that in the real world, then we can help anybody in any discipline, in any breed, to achieve what they want to do, even if it's not out of the arena. But we do try to help people gain the skills and confidence to get out and experience life in some big country and ranch-based settings, a lot of cattle work, and just applying their skills and their maneuverability and those things in a real practical setting. We also have a lot of online resources that we've branched out into over the last few years, and so we're pretty excited to be able to launch our own app this year, actually.
Oh, cool.
Hosting our online video library subscription and our private community.
Fabulous. Look at you. And this is your first year with merch.
It is the first year with merch. And I hate that word.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to tease
you. I said no for years to that. You know, it just rubs me the wrong way. I don't do self-promotion. And so my take on it, if you saw the post I did on it the other day, right? It's like the goal is still the same, to remind people.
Yes.
So it doesn't just have a logo or anything on it. It's like a saying or a quote or something that will just trigger someone's memory or cause discussion among people, you know?
100%.
Oh, that's a different looking saying. What does that mean? You know, and promote discussion among people so that the principles can be better understood.
Exactly. And I mean, you're such a genuine, authentic person. I think that comes across in the way you speak. It's so calm and leveling.
I hope
so. I can feel my heart rate slowing. Like, you know,
Allison
usually
needed it this morning.
I did. In our last interview, I got distracted by a basset hound, you know. And I think that horses obviously sense that. I think people sense that too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes you a good speaker and makes you a good teacher. If you want to give a tip or maybe a concept that you shared in one of your trail riding clinics here, is there anything that comes to mind?
You know, something that's come to mind recently as I've been teaching, and it was something I don't know that I've expressed quite until recently. So it's sort of a new thought that's rolling around in my mind over the last few months. And that is, in most situations, I think a lot of people hesitate and they're not sure what to do. And they second guess themselves. A lot of people with horses, if they're unsure, there's a lot of hesitancy. And I understand that, right? There's so many variables, right? We can understand the principles, but the application can be pretty tricky. But what I would say is, most of the time, I really think it's probably better to do something. Hesitancy in the moment, if your horse has decided to do something or isn't doing something that you would like, that hesitancy is, for most horses, is going to be translated as a lack of leadership and a void where either that horse is going to have to look for direction from somewhere else or take over themselves.
Right.
That's the only two options, really, when there's a void of leadership. And so I've been encouraging people, like, you may not be sure, but it's almost better to do something
than nothing.
Than nothing. Mm-hmm. Because in that moment of hesitancy, even if it's only a couple of seconds, there's that loss of leadership and direction. But if you do something and it's wrong, but you're open to feedback, right? You pay attention. Your horse will let you know if you're wrong. You know, oh, that didn't work. Well, let's try something else, right? Rather than to hesitate and leave that void of leadership. So better to do something and be wrong, I think, you know,
I agree.
And adjust to fit.
No, that's a good one. Every time I've hesitated and I've made it, you know, I can sense when I've lost control of the situation. And it's like, it's usually better if I just go ahead and make the decision and we'll fix it. We'll roll with the punches.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about adjustability and adaptability and just rolling with it. So I tell people all the time, your horse didn't know what your plan was to do next and that it wasn't what you actually had to go and do because of what happened. You know, it's that adaptability and lateral thinking, I think, that is really important.
Well, speaking of that, I imagine you saw a lot of that going down in the VHRC on Friday.
You know, what an interesting thing to judge. And especially as a solo judge, I felt like, wow, one guy's opinion on all this, huh?
No pressure.
Better get it right.
You know, and so to me, there was two aspects of what I was looking at. Obviously, if they attempted to complete the obstacle, but then opted out because of they felt they were running out of time, then I had to give them a score. And then if they did complete it, I had to give them a score. And so there was the completion of it, but to me, it was how it was being done and whether it was being done correctly as part of it. So there's the physical aspect of, okay, they were supposed to switch leads between each of those balloon poles. Well, we got half the lead changes right and half of them not. So that gives you an idea of the physical correctness. But then there's a much more subtle thing going on, and I think that has to do with truly the horsemanship aspect of it.
Yeah.
Now, all these events want to emphasize horsemanship. But when you add a time limit, we're going to struggle as humans to really be consistent with that horsemanship.
Yes.
And then you've got even more subtle things like, well, all these different horses and riders who from all different backgrounds, you know, how do we know that the way that horse took that obstacle was not like the best they have ever done, even though there was a hesitancy or maybe they failed it, you know, but the horsemanship was not a fail. How do you score that?
Yeah, it's intangible.
It's an intangible, and it's an unknown if you don't know the horse and rider. It's like, so I observed the feet of the horse. I observed the eye of the horse. I observed their bodies, because that tells you a lot about what that horse is thinking and feeling, not just the physical correctness of the way it was being done, right? Did he fall off the bridge? Is he so skittery that he just can't keep his feet on that platform?
Right.
Well, that's part of it. That tells you something, but what is his eye telling you? You know, what are the hands and legs of the rider telling you? Are they giving that horse a moment? There was several of those obstacles where I'll use the example of the one back in the figure eight around the cones.
Yes.
What a great exercise, by the way. That is phenomenal stuff for any horse and rider to work on and get right. But that one, if you did it smooth, you didn't need to do it fast. You had 30 seconds. And there were some of those guys that did it really, really well and took maybe 20, 25 seconds. And I gave them a higher score than the ones who did it in 15 seconds, but it was rushed.
Yep.
And that horse was jamming up and, you know, they got it done and it, you know, no problem, but they didn't need to rush like that.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, it didn't make it pretty. It didn't make it right for the horse, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've seen several VHRCs at this point, and I always appreciate when a horse and rider approaches an obstacle, they immediately have a problem, and rather than, you know, rushing through or panicking or whatever, they decide they're going to stop and have a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that, you know, maybe they didn't score, maybe they lost time, maybe whatever, maybe they didn't even place, but for me, that shows they care about their horse. They care about more than just this moment.
Yeah.
And that's horsemanship, too.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Let's fix it.
I agree.
And then we'll move on. And then they usually finish the course, and they do a great job.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, it's a DNF, but it's all right. They won for another day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that anybody who's participating in these sorts of things, hopefully they're looking at that big picture. Mm-hmm. They're seeing that, yes, win or lose on the day, how did you continue to expose your horse in a way that builds confidence?
Yeah.
Not just in their ability to take on an obstacle, but their rapport with you as a rider and as the leader of the situation, that you're not going to ask more than what they can do.
Yeah.
You're not going to demand more than what they're ready to understand and accept. Mm-hmm. I talk all the time in my clinics about the fact that the physical outcomes that we're wanting, regardless of what we're trying to do with our horses, is solely based on their physical, or sorry, their mental and emotional state,
mm-hmm.
right? In other words, the way they're thinking and the way they're feeling about the situation they're in.
Yeah.
And all too mm-hmm. often, and we saw examples of that on Friday, all too often we can get these horses doing things that they are really not thinking or feeling mm-hmm. very good about, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so, like you say, to see those people just give a moment, even with the time crunch, mm-hmm. And some of them could have given a little more of a moment at the risk of running out of the time.
Sure.
And those that did, I gave a higher score to from the horsemanship perspective. Mm-hmm. Maybe I couldn't give them a good score overall for having completed it, maybe, but I did give them a tick up or two if I saw that they had their horse at the forefront of their mind there instead of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that pays off in so many ways, because most of these riders come back year after year to do this. It's a milestone for their year, and I love watching them grow. Some of them I've seen ride 3, 4, 5 times, and I love watching because every time they come back, it's a little bit different. They've taken it to heart, and they've learned, and
that's
the cool part about
it is.
The VHRC. Yeah. You got anything else? All right. How can people learn more about you and maybe get the update on your app when it comes out?
Yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. Ben Longwell or True West Horsemanship on pretty much any social media platform. Obviously, website, truewesthorsemanship.com. And our app actually has just launched.
Congrats.
Thank you. We have it available by download from our website.
Nice.
Or you can get in touch. I'll send you the link. It's not on the app stores yet.
Uh-huh.
We'll see about that. But
you'll get there.
At this point, it's available by download. It's a free app. Has a lot of free resources on it, links to all of our podcasts, as well as event schedules and some free videos and stuff. And then, like I said, it hosts our two subscriptions, the video library, and then which is extensive, growing all the time, wide range of subjects. And then our private community I'm really excited about. We've been doing that about a year now to provide a place for like-minded, dedicated students of the horse to come together, share the camaraderie, questions, share challenges, but also share with the wins, you know, like,
yeah.
Hey, look what me and my horse are doing today, you know, and just to try to provide a place where there aren't the keyboard warriors,
mm-hmm.
there's no politics, there's no ads, it's just pure horsemanship, and there's some amazing people on there. It's just a lot of fun. So the remuda, we call it, which is the Spanish word for a band of saddle horses on a ranch,
mm-hmm.
is all that, but it also includes regular virtual events, as well as full access to the video library. So that's our top subscription, and we're really excited to be able to provide it in the app, which I think makes everything easier to navigate and everything in one place. So.
Well, that sounds incredible. All right. Thank you, Ben.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Let's pop into some of our mini interviews. First up, we've got Marie Hoffman with the Total Horse Method.
It's my pleasure now to introduce to you guys my booth buddy, who's been hanging out next door to our HRN booth all week long. This is Marie Hoffman. She's an incredibly accomplished trainer and speaker here at Equine Affair this weekend. And on Thursday, she spoke and taught a class called Unlocking Calm Confidence, which is something I know all of us need to do with our horses from time to time. And Marie, I was hoping you could give our listeners a little sneak peek into your talk you gave and maybe give us some tips on how to unlock the calm and confidence within our own horses.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. And it's been great to have you as my booth buddy to see all the things that you do over here. There are three basic steps and concepts that we use to help your horse unlock the ability. They want to be calm. They want to be in, like, in their pasture with their buddies, and so that they don't want to be worried. They don't want to be tense. They don't want to be scared. We don't want them worried, tense, and scared.
Because then we're worried, tense, and scared.
This is very true. So the three concepts that you want to keep in mind is you need to control when they're, let's say they're afraid of the end of the arena, and that's a common problem people have. You want to be able to control that fear before you get there. And you guys all know that when they go down the end of the arena, they want to cut it off, or they get down there and then they spook and then they want to come forward. And so how you do it is I have a maze that I use, and we put that maze down there, and the maze, they follow the path of the maze, and the points make them bend, and that helps them change into their thinking part of their brain. When you go down there, you want to be able to control the speed, but you can't pull back on both reins because then that traps them and then they get more excited.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down there, you want to be able to bend them and turn them, but you just guide them. You don't pull on the other rein, and then they don't feel trapped, and then they are able to actually start to relax a little bit. The other thing you want to be conscious of is flight distance. So one of the reasons we work at the end of the arena is if they become frightened, and I'm sure you guys have seen it, they get scared of something, they run a long distance and they stop and turn around and look at it. But that does in their brain is it registers that as a scary thing. You don't want to go there anymore. So by stopping the flight distance and keeping them close to the area and causing them to go in the thinking part of their brain, it just eliminates that happening in their brain. And then when a horse is frightened, you know, sometimes then they're frightened again and again and again. It stops that cycle. The next step that you want to be doing is you want to start anticipating. You know your horse might be scared at the end. So if you're proactive, set up a pattern, set up the maze, and work them in the maze. So now you have cured the thought that they're going to be afraid. You've put them right in their thinking part of their brain. And it's just a non-issue anymore. And then you can go around the arena. And I have a quick little story. When I was at a clinic, teaching a clinic, and this rider was warming up before the clinic, and they go around the end, and this cow had got his head stuck in a round bale feeder, and he's running past the end of the arena, banging this feeder along.
Gosh.
And, of course, the horse is like, I'm out of here.
Yep.
And so the lady personally stayed on, and they got him stopped, and she's just like really rattled. So I went up to her and I brought him up, and he's already learned the technique I call walk up. It's basically target training. So I led him up there to help him like down regulate a little bit so this would not register. And he did down regulate, and then we started doing. The maze was set up down there, and so we started working with the maze, and she was able to, it was under a minute, he calmed down. He has to see out of both eyes. He had to get back into his parasympathetic. I had her do some breathing drills, and actually I'm a neuro training coach, so I had her do an eye drill that calmed her down, calmed him down, and then the rest of the clinic, it was done. He didn't spook at the end anymore. He was just fine. And the clinic went really, really well. So it is very possible if you have the tools to stop that process from starting. And if it's already started, there are tools that you can cure it so it isn't an issue like all winter long. You have this horse is spooking at the end of the arena, and it's just, you know, you guys know how it is to deal with that.
So, Marie, where can our listeners go to get these tools to learn more about the maze and maybe get their horse to calm down?
I have a website. It's totalhorsemethod.com. If you go there, I have a book that's called The Amazing Patterns. And this has, in the book, it has not only the patterns, but it has a section that says how to do it, another section that says how this benefits the horse, and a third section that says what if they don't do what they're supposed to be doing. It helps you guide them through that. And then the fourth section is what the handler or rider, because there are patterns for both lunging and for riding. And those patterns work because the horse wants to avoid the edge. They're on the ground. The horse feels confident, like it's in a round pen. But as they go around, the poles shape their body, and they pick up their shoulders, they move their barrel out, step with their inside hind leg, and that balances them. And the more balanced your horse is, the calmer it is. And when your horse is calm, you want your horse to be calm, and he's able to go into a thinking part of his brain. And the horses get to where they really love the maze, because when they go in there, everything is calm.
Yeah, it's like a dog in a crate, kind of.
Yeah,
you know,
very
properly crate
trained. It is. And then when the horses calm down, guess what happens to the people?
We calm down.
We calm down. And then so it becomes a safe space. And there's all kinds of patterns that help them. If they get really, really excited, there's a pattern. It's pattern 18, but you actually do a triangle through the middle. And again, you don't trap them. You just steer them through the triangle and little figure eights going around the end. And in my talk, I had a video that actually showed this. And it took this lady less than 2 minutes from a horse that was trying to bolt from the end of the arena from the noise outside to walking calmly. So it does. It just, I call it an amazing maze, because it really is amazing how the horses calm down inside of it. And it's easy to use.
Next up, we have friend of the show, Leslie, with I Speak to Animals.
Well, you know, Equine Affair is where we always find our friends from many, many moons. And I ran into Leslie Saranisi, who has been on the show I don't even know how many times. And she's our favorite animal communicator. Leslie, how have you been?
Oh, so good. So good. I miss you guys.
I know. We
so
miss you,
to
too.
So good to see you here.
It's always fun to see some friendly faces.
Absolutely.
How's Equine Affair been for you?
It's actually been pretty good. I've been pretty busy every day, and certainly better than last year when I lost my voice for a day.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess for multiple reasons that would be hard at a trade show, especially with what you do.
Exactly. But
what's been going on since we've had you on the show last? I think it's been a year or a year and a half.
Yeah, at least. Actually, it's been amazing. I have been approached by Dawn Oliveri, who is from the Yellowstone series. She's an actress. She's the evil one that killed off John Dutton.
Uh-oh. You heard it here first.
Yeah. And so she is amazing. She has a horse rescue in Arkansas.
Oh, cool.
Where she rescues from the kill pen. And she has this beautiful sanctuary, 160 acres. And so she contacted me and asked if I would collaborate. And I said, yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, I think I would like to do that. And because she has so many equine there, I went to Arkansas. I've been there a couple times now and just stayed for a few days and just talked to everybody on the ranch. And it's just been amazing.
Oh, my gosh. I have goosebumps.
Yeah, she's really amazing, really cares, took a lot of notes. As soon as I said, somebody wants this, somebody needs that, she was making notes, making calls, making happen, you know, changes happen. So I really give her a lot of credit. She's pretty amazing.
That's wonderful. And are these horses going to stay with her, or will they be rehabbed and adopted out? What's the goal?
Both. She has some that just, you know, for whatever reason cannot be adopted, so they have a home there. And then she has some that she calls ambassadors, which are meant to be there in case, you know, people come. And,
yeah.
And then also she definitely has those that are going to be adopted, and they do a lot of work with them. And I just saw some really great videos where they were, you know, using the blue tarp and putting on them and getting them acclimated. So
that's fantastic. And what's the name of her operation?
It's called Moon Mountain Sanctuary.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Our listeners will certainly check that out. Especially,
good.
I love that she's riding the wave of Yellowstone.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that, and using her fame to
for
make
good.
The world. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And she really, I mean, it's so funny because all of the characters that she plays are kind of evil, nasty characters, and she's just the kindest person. So
I've always told my husband, like, my dream role would be a villain. Because I think it'd be so funny to be so far from yourself.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So tell me about how Equine Affair has been. You've been doing readings with people here.
Yeah, it's been really great. I've had just across the spectrum, but there was one really interesting one where the horse said, she said, I'm sorry that I haven't been riding you, because she had kind of a toddler. And she said,
that resonates with me.
And the horse said, well, you can't ride me anyway now because you're pregnant.
Stop it.
And she said, what? And I said, well, that your horse, not me saying it, your horse is saying it. And she said, and the horse said, and by the way, you're having a girl. And she said, no, I'm a boy mom. And I said, well, do you think you are? And she said, well, it's the weirdest thing, because this morning I thought to myself, started counting my fingers and going, that doesn't seem right.
The calendar.
And so I think the horse knew before she did. And so I told her, well, you have to
name the baby Leslie, obviously.
You have to let me know, as soon as you know for sure.
And, oh, my gosh, you guys, my hair stood up on end.
Yeah.
I believe it, because animals are so intuitive and they can probably sense the hormones way before we do.
Definitely. Yep.
What a token to take away from Equine Affair. By the way, babe, I didn't get a saddle, but this is a lot more expensive.
I'm going to have to get a double saddle. And another one that was really funny is, so there was this mini horse named Axel, and he told me that he was really sad and really lonely, and that he wanted two goats. And so I looked up at the lady, and she was crying, and I looked at the picture again, because I only use a picture,
right.
And Axel said, I just lost my best friends. And I looked at her and I said, did your goats die? And she's crying, and she said, yes, he just lost his friends, and he's out there by himself.
Aww. So
I said, well, if you don't get goats, because she was kind of like, I don't know if I'm ready, I said, is there anything else, Axel, that you'd rather have? And he said, well, I really think deer are super majestic, and I think that would be fun. And I looked at her and I said, have you thought about it or whatever? She said, this makes sense, because he runs out to the fence line and there's all these
deer
out there, and they just sit there and stare at each other. And for an hour, she said, they'll just sit there and stare at each other. So she said, so it makes sense that he would ask for a deer. So that was kind of fun too.
That is so funny. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want a deer also?
Yeah,
they're really cute.
They are. They're very beautiful. And I'm with them. They're kind of majestic.
They are, A morning when it's misty and you have your coffee, and it is a special kind of peace.
Yep.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, I just always love catching up with you. Remind our listeners where they can find you and what they need if they're interested in a reading.
Absolutely. So my website is ispeaktoanimals.com. And from there, you can find my Facebook, my podcast, my phone number, everything that you need there. And you can also just book your own appointment there.
Oh, perfect.
And I talk to animals that are alive or that have crossed over. And all I need is a photo. So I do not have to be face-to-face with the animal. So you just text me a photo, I call you, and we just do everything over the phone. And I can help with things like, are you feeling sick? Do you have any aches or pains? Are you not feeling well? Behavioral issues. Transition decisions,
mm-hmm.
letting them make the decision rather than you having that burden.
What a peace of mind.
And just things that you want to ask them or tell them, if you're going on vacation.
Right.
Don't worry, you're going to be with grandma. I'll be back.
I promise.
Exactly. And what's going to happen when you're going, when you're leaving, when you're coming back, those kind of things. So,
well, Leslie, it's always a pleasure. And I know what you do is just so special and incredible. And
thank
you for using your heart and gifts to make the world a better place too.
Well, thank you. I would say the same for you too.
And finally, a clinician you might recognize fresh from covering the World Cup in Texas, Reese Koffler Stanfield.
I found her.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Reese.
We finally met in person.
I know.
It's so weird. We were actually just kind of having coffee and she turned the mic on. She's like, we're working now.
And
yes, ma'am.
Game face.
And we're working now.
So, Reese, I know you're speaking at Equine Affair. You did a clinic yesterday. We have a couple today.
Yeah.
And you're hot off the trails.
I've been all over.
She's a busy woman.
As somebody asked me if I had a helicopter, and I said, my private jet didn't quite bring me. That would have been delightful. But, yeah, I didn't have my private jet.
You got in, Thursday night? Friday night.
Friday night.
From World Cup.
So I flew to World Cup and met Megan. over there, Megan McIsaac, my co-host.
Yes.
And she's been there. I think, Megan, we may have killed her. We'll see. I haven't gotten an update this morning, so I think she's on a plane, maybe. But it was her first, like, World Cup experience. And our dear sweet Philip and I would go to the World Cups, and we had so much fun, and it was such a great memory. And I just really felt like we should go. So we went. We conquered. We had three or four interviews on Thursday. She got more all weekend. She was a busy girl. But it was her first time in the press center and learning. Because there's a lot that goes on that you don't know about. It just seems like, oh, the press just
gets to do whatever they want.
Whatever. No, right. There's actually a lot of rules, and there are places you can go and can't go. So it was fun for her to learn that. So it was fun.
Well, and fun to see it through a first-timer's eyes.
Yes.
It's like Christmas morning.
Yeah, so cute. She'll tell you. So on Thursday morning, she woke up at like 7 a.m. I heard her bopping around, and I was like, do you know we're not going to get back to like 1 a.m.? So I was like, do you want to rest a little longer? She's like, I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's go. So she was like running. I was like, let's just chill. And then we get there. And we had like literally a whole week and a day. So we started, we had our interviews with Ben Ebeling, and we had with Kevin Coleman. We actually had a press agent that we grabbed because her story was kind of cool to hear what she was doing. And who else did we interview? It's all kind of a blur.
I'm sure.
And, yeah. And then we did some shopping. And sat in this amazing chair. We were just laughing about this chair. They were also here at Equine Affair. And then we checked into the press center. We did our press briefing. And then we went downtown because we had a break to watch the cows walk.
Yes! Yeah,
it's like a thing in Fort Worth.
Yes!
I'm so glad we went down there to the stockyard.
I was going
to
say, as a couple of dressage queens, that's something you don't see every day.
You should have seen us with those cowboy hats.
Ooh.
I did find a very sparkly silver hat.
I love that.
I know,
for you.
I was strained because I didn't know where I could put it. Like, I was like, I can't bring this with me on the airplane. And then we kind of got settled, and we had to do Kentucky Performance Products is our sponsor of our show and me. So I actually had to do some things for them and hang out with those guys. And then we went back in and we had dinner because they do feed the press.
Well, that's good.
I know. And then we're pretty good. Sometimes. Yeah. But it was actually pretty good dinners when I was there. We had dinner and then we got out of our seats and then the World Cup started. So the Grand Prix. So I only got to see the Grand Prix. And then Friday morning, I hopped on the plane. There wasn't a lot of hopping. There was a lot of waiting.
A lot of hopping.
There was
bopping.
A lot of hopping. And then we were late. And then, because it's me, I taught a couple lessons on my way from...
Of course you did.
I did. From Cincinnati to Columbus. My barn daughter, she literally is right off the highway. So I taught two lessons and then I got in kind of late on Friday. And then... I'm here at Equine Affair.
Doing the darn thing. So yesterday, what was your talk about?
So yesterday, that's a really good question. I'm trying to remember.
It was like dressage for every horse.
Dressage for every horse. Sorry. I was like, wasn't ready for that question. Dressage for every horse, which is great. And it was wonderful. I had the cutest little junior.
I saw them getting tapped up.
Remember? Yes. We met her? Little Mista. Oh, my gosh.
So sweet.
It was so sweet. Because she was my only junior that applied. So everybody remember, apply to these things because we do pick people. And
it's a really cool way to have basically a private clinic.
You have a private clinic. But you also get great experience
in
front of people.
And your horse gets exposed, being in front of a crowd.
Yes. And then I had two other riders that I knew, which was really, really nice. They're going to ride also today. Tazera and Jen, and they were great, and they're going to come back on. So,
what are we talking about today? I know you have like an 11:45
and 11:45 and a 3.
Oh, 3. Okay.
I'm like bringing up the rear. They're like, you're here for it, but it's great. Back to basics and exercises for the dressage horse and rider.
Perfect. And it was so funny yesterday. I had caught one of our auditors, Sarah. I'm not going to say where there might have been alcohol around, but I'm not going to confirm or deny anything.
Yep.
And Sarah's like, oh, I just left the coolest little dressage clinic. And I said, Sarah, that was Reese. And she's like, oh. Her voice was familiar, so
yes.
You had fans.
I had fans.
They didn't know they were fans at the time.
I love it. I hope they come back today. And it's so fun. Like, I'm sure you feel the same way. Like, we love when people come up to us.
It's the
best.
We
love it. Yep. And it is funny because a lot of times people hear our voice and they look at us. There's a certain look. And Ashley and I were talking about it before we got on air. And you learn that look. And
it's like, wait a minute. I think I know them. And the wheels turn and they're like, The voice.
Yes, I know that voice. And so usually I'm like, I'm Reese from the radio show. And then they clue right in.
Then it all clicks.
Yeah, so it's super fun. So it should be a really good day. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I may not be up super early tomorrow.
I can't wait to clock out. And yeah.
I think you've got some shopping, you said.
Yes. There's a pair of brown field boots that have been calling my name.
I want to see them.
Tell my husband.
My husband doesn't even ask. I was really well behaved yesterday. I did buy
good
a pair of britches because I actually need. I that was in the need category, not just want. And I did again the massage chair. We're straight. It's $17,000, but man, that thing is delightful.
I mean, we could. What if we do like a GoFundMe for HRN hosts?
Yes, we have a chair.
We have our own massage chair.
That's a way to get people to come over and see our booth.
Hey,
you know, come on
stay
over.
Stay tuned for next Tuesday.
Yeah. We're gonna rent a chair. Everybody, but you're gonna have to kick Ashley and I out of the chair.
That's right. We're gonna record from the chair and be like,
Don't worry. Don't worry about our voice. No, but this is such a cool event. And so there's a bit of history here. So we're sad, Glenn, he's listening right now, that he wasn't here because Glenn and I think we met here at Equine Affair. It would have been in 2008 or 2009 because I was a presenter here. And then one year, and then another year, I was a presenter and rode in Fantasia.
Oh my gosh, Reese! Yes. I didn't know you rode in Fantasia.
Oh yeah, girl, yes, Queen with Casper. He was wonderful. It was something. Like I still have my shad belly. I'll take a picture of it. Yeah, I have my bedazzled shad belly. I'm not sure I could get into it because that was twenty years ago.
We won't go there.
Yeah, but I think he was here the first time, and we were saying it was so weird to walk in the same arena almost 20 years later as. I think you, as an older coach, you maybe know more, but you also know you know less, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Yes. Yeah. So that was kind of a weird moment yesterday when I walked in that ring. And the first time I was telling Ashley, the first time I did it, I followed one of the natural horsemanship guys, and they literally, like, had a t-shirt gun, and, like, I swear, like, a disco ball fell from the sky, and, like, bumping
there
music.
There was money everywhere.
There was money flying. I don't know. And I remember looking at my mom just terrified. I was like, oh, my God, I don't have a t-shirt gun. What are we going to do? And my mom's like, you're good. You, like, pushed me out there. And I was like, so I had a little laugh as I was walking out there yesterday of, like, yeah.
So next year on the shopping list, we have a massage chair and a t-shirt gun.
Yeah. Oh, if I could get a t-shirt gun, y'all.
Game over.
Ashley will be out there. I'll be like, shoot the t-shirts now. Disco ball, go.
I think we have to. That's it.
Yeah, I think we have to.
So, Reese, it's been so great.
This is so fun. Meet in person.
Out. I know.
I know. We didn't have time to actually have dinner, but next time. Next time.
Next time. And next maybe time. They'll let me out of the cage more.
I don't know. Maybe that's not a good idea. I don't know. It was super fun. Thanks for having me.
Well, Ashley, I have had an absolute blast with you the last 3 days. Thank you so much for coming out here.
The pleasure has been all mine. This is, first of all, I get to ditch my baby and my husband. So thank you, Allison, for 5 solid nights of sleep.
Ooh, you're welcome.
I was starfishing in the bed. It was a beautiful thing.
I'm so jealous.
No, this has really been so much fun to see faces old and new, listeners, meet new breeds of horses I never met before. You guys, I know how much work you guys pour into this, and it shows. Everybody says they love it, and I hope that your heart is full too, because you've worked really hard, and it shows, and it's been a great, great, great equine affair.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. You know, I am running around all over, and I hear some good things, and I hear some bad things, but it means a lot when I hear from other people that, yes, they're having a good time. It's a good energy. It's been a good show. And so Glenn's loss is my gain, because I get the beautiful Ashley. But I'm glad Glenn's home, and he's editing for us. So thank you, Glenn, for all your hard work.
Yes,
and
thanks, Glenn, for working on the weekend. I'll be sure to pay you extra.
And thank you to all our listeners. Thank you to our auditors who stopped by. This is you guys are why we do the show. So thank you for supporting the podcast. And thank you for supporting Equine Affair. And by the way, go ahead and save the dates for next year's Equine Affair in Ohio. It's April 8th through the 11th, 2027.
Oh, my God.
And for our New Englanders, come to Massachusetts this fall, November 12th through the 15th, at the Eastern States Exposition in West Springfield, Massachusetts. That's this November. And you can learn more about Equine Affair and see the countdown clocks for the next events and all those good stuff at equineaffair.com. You can go to our Facebook page at Equine Affair for all the coverage. You can follow Hayden Crystal and see all her amazing footage and coverage of Equine Affair. And you can check out the YouTube channel.
You can always follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook or find us on your favorite podcast player. And be sure to check out all of our other shows at horseradionetwork.com.
We'll see you at Equine Affair.